Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Francis, welcome back to Life Study.
Thank you for inviting me back. I enjoy being here.
We've seen, Francis, that rebellion is typified by leprosy in the Bible. It's something that surrounds us without, it resides within, and it has all manner of forms of expression through our deeds. And we're going to see today, especially in our words. The reality is that rebellion is very closely identified with sin itself. And as we'll hear today, we could go farther, perhaps, and say that rebellion is associated with Satan himself. Chapter 13 in Leviticus talks about how leprosy affected the garments of the sufferer, beginning in verse 47 and reading a couple verses here. It says, "The garment also that the infection of leprosy is in, whether it is a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it is in warp or woof, of linen or of wool, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin, if the infection is greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin or in the warp or in the woof or in anything of the skin, it is the infection of leprosy and shall be shown to the priest." So here, Francis, what we're focusing on in this first session today is its outward effect and issue, and that affects us all, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Its outward effect is one thing that's brought out very much in this message.
Why don't we go to Witness Lee, and then you and I will return for some time to fellowship.
Very good.
Good.
We come to the leprosy on clothings. Firstly, this section covers man in leprosy. Now, it goes on to man's wearing, what we wear, what we are clothed with. Also, could be possible to have leprosy. This signifies the filthiness of sin in one's outward living, conduct, contact with people, and so forth. Garment or clothes or wearings in the Bible always signify outward conduct, daily living, and so forth. We all know in our Christian life we need two things nearly every day: repentance and confession. You have to realize, suppose there's a day in your Christian life, in this day you do not have any repentance, any confession. You may think that it's a good day with you. You have to realize, no, that is not a good day with you. I'd like to check with you, physically speaking, how many times do you wash your hands? The more you wash your hands, the less germs you will pick up. Now, as a Christian, do you believe that there could be a day that you don't need to repent and you need to confess of anything? I never had such a day. In Brother Nee's teaching concerning the marriage life, she said, in your married life, this word sorry, 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 sorry should be repeated again and again. If you don't know how to say sorry, you'll be prepared, firstly, to have a separation. Secondly, to have a divorce. You suffer a separation and you suffer a divorce just because you don't know this word, sorry. In your dictionary, Christian dictionary, sorry, S-O-R-Y, should be strongly printed there with bold letters. And to say sorry implies repentance and confession. So we Christians have to learn to live a holy life. We need a washing. And the washing comes from our repentance and confession. God's forgiveness always to his children has some terms and conditions. The main term and condition is our confession. And the confession comes out of repentance.
Francis, I think we both agree with him regarding the marriage life. We better learn this word and learn it early on, hadn't we?
That's right. I'm thankful that that was brought to my attention early and has been repeated a number of times to remind me.
This problem, as Leviticus describes it, the contamination of leprosy upon the garments, it indicates that our walk, our outward walk, our behavior, is all the time being affected by this very inward condition, this condition of sin that resides in all of us. There's a very practical solution, Francis, for this problem that the Lord has afforded us. But all too often, for many if not most of us, we fail to take advantage of this solution. Let's talk about just how we can maintain fellowship, not just with our wives, but with the Lord especially, in spite of the condition of sin that resides within us.
Yes, I was very much impressed too, Chris, with this portion, because he does give us a way to keep in fellowship even though we do fail so much. And as he said, never a day you don't need to repent.
Right.
So this way to keep in fellowship and to keep a oneness with our wives, as he brought out, is a way of repentance and confession. This is very clear in the Bible. Because this sin, this indwelt sin, continually comes out, which is illustrated here or typified by the garments that were worn and how they became leprous. So when we have that kind of experience, we realize our fellowship is not so good, but we need to repent and confess. Even in 1 John, you have that verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even in that portion in Leviticus that we're on today, there are reminders that we need to practice this. If we practice this matter of confessing, repenting, and washing, we need the washing of the Word. We need the washing of our repentance all the time.
You know, I don't know how many believers, Christians there are out there who go an entire day without ever coming to the Lord to confess, to repent. I think we're going to see in a coming section, we may think this was kind of a victorious day if we haven't done anything so terrible that we had to go to the Lord to confess. But really, if that's our condition, we're suffering the effects of leprosy and really are not keen enough to recognize it. And this is a very dangerous situation, isn't it?
Yeah, because you don't realize what you're doing because it's something within us. It's not something that we stop and consider whether we should do this or not, but they're just sinful things and sinful attitudes and breaking of the fellowship unconsciously. So we need this kind of repentance, confession, washing.
Francis, I was reminded a number of Bible teachers have brought out the fact, and certainly Watchman Nee and Witness Lee both have brought this to our attention, the real meaning of repentance is to have a change of direction. It's not perhaps the kind of religious connotation that we naturally give it, but it means that we're walking in a certain path and the Lord brings something to our realization and we just have a complete turn, a change of direction. And many times, a dozen times a day, we need this kind of experience, don't we?
I do. It's a big help, this kind of word.
Yeah.
And very seldom you can find that kind of interpretation that really makes this practical to us. To repent is not to do some kind of religious paraphernalia,
right,
you know, activities, but it's simply, as you said, to have a turn, a realization that we're off track and turn back, Lord, I'm sorry, and even wife, I'm sorry.
Right. Francis, we have a really good section just ahead. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Leprosy is a synonym to the word sin. And sin is a synonym to the word rebellion. Rebellion. In the entire universe, sin is rebellion. Actually, in the entire universe, in heaven and earth, there's only one sin. Not many sins. There's one sin. That's rebellion. Rebellion. And you look at the principles set up by God in His creation. That is, everything is in order. To be in order is related to certain kind of authority. You think about the USA. Suppose you take away authority from the USA, it will become what? A mess. Full of rebels, full of robbers, full of stealers. There's no absolute perfection, but comparatively speaking, USA is a country in order. A little man, policeman, with his uniform, standing on the street. Every driver has to listen to him. Everyone, even mayor, even the governor of the state, still has to listen to a small policeman. What is this? This is the order under the authority. In a school, you could see the authority. In a family, you could see the authority. In everywhere in the universe, you could see authority. Then what is rebellion? Rebellion is just to rebel against the authority. Actually, in the divine sense, authority is a synonym of God. God and authority, these two are synonyms. What is authority in this universe? God. Who is authority in this universe? God. Who is God? God is the very authority in this universe. Who tried to break. The authority never got broken. Divine authority still remains. But Satan tried, and he had tried, to break this authority. But he didn't make it. He didn't make it. Rather, he got judged. Dear saints, we are God's created people, and we are God's chosen people, and we are God's redeemed people, and we are God's saved people. Even today, we become God's regenerated children. So we must be the most what? Submissive one, obedient one. Do you remember Romans 5 says, what is sin? Sin is just to be disobedient. Sin, right? Sin came into the human race through what? Through the disobedience of Adam. What is disobedience? That is a synonym of rebellion, right? Disobedience is rebellion. And rebellion, I tell you, is a synonym of Satan. How authority, this word, is a synonym of God, so the word rebellion is a synonym of Satan.
Francis, this word helped me a great deal when I was a young believer, just out of a very rebellious generation where rebellion was rampant, and I think there was some saving in this kind of word. Authority is a synonym for God. And conversely, that rebellion is associated with Satan. It's clear, I think, from this that all of our sins outwardly really are the result of that inward rebellion that lurks within all of us, isn't it?
That's right. The rebellious one was Satan himself. And because of his rebellion, he was judged. So we have to realize that rebellion is not only something so outward like a scene on the street where people are rebelling against the government or rebelling against certain kind of action. It's not just that. It's those little things that are in us that come out of us because rebellion is in our nature. Our fallen nature is a rebellious nature, so that we really need the grace of the Lord. We need the constant repenting to the Lord so that we are willing to deal with this kind of rebellion that's in us.
What about his word here, Francis, that authority and rebellion are synonyms for God and for Satan? This is quite striking.
That really struck me, too, that when you say rebellion, you mean Satan.
Right.
And that's who's in us. We have to realize, and I think anyone honest would certainly realize, that we're rebellious, just naturally. Most authorities come to us in such a way that we have learned how to deal with them, and so we respond in a polite way.
Right.
But actually, what we really feel is, no, I don't want to do that, or you can't tell me what to do. So I think this is the nature of this rebellious nature that is in us. It just reacts to authority.
Well, Francis, let's go on. In our final section today, we want to come back to something we touched in the first portion. And that is, on those days when we don't have any realization of a serious offense, and we may feel a kind of a sense of pride spiritually, we had a great day, seemingly. But we're going to get some light, I think, in this coming section that'll give us all pause. And we're going to realize, I think, just how easy it is for us to be tripped up by even something as innocent as a polite, everyday conversation.
Right.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
This chapter, such a chapter, would always humble us. Always humble us. We are just such a person. Leprosy. We are altogether leprous. We are just the totality of the rebellion, I tell you the truth. So learn to live a life of repentance and of confession and of dealing and of elimination. All the time, every day, repent and confess and deal with your shortcomings and just try the best, cut off a part of your being by the cross of Christ. Then you may live a holy life. If we are going to live a holy life, we need to repent, confess all the day long. It's not too much to say. We need all the day doing nothing but repenting and confessing. We are just such a person. You know Isaiah, his experience. When he saw the glory of Christ, what he said, I am a man of unclean lips among the people of uncleanness. And James says, if you can control, restrain your tongue, you must be the most perfect person. Just our lips and the tongue. You don't know these two organs made how much trouble. Just the lips, just the tongue. The best way to be holy is to be dumb. Don't speak. Whenever you speak, you cannot escape sinning. Learn to be dumb. Nothing to say. Because I have found out, whatever I say, there must be something sinful that needs me to repent of and to confess of. This is us. We are just like this. I hope that you all see in chapter 12, we are totally uncleanness. In chapter 13, we are totally leprosy. And leprosy is just sin. And sin is just rebellion.
Francis, there are many ways, I guess an infinite number of ways, that our inward sinful condition gets expressed. But surely none so troublesome as those that come from this little member that he described, or these two little members, the tongue and the lips. Here's the testimony of one who walked with the Lord every day for more than 70 years. And according to his word, the best solution is simply for us to learn to be dumb, to be silent. I think we're all in the process of learning that same lesson, aren't we?
I hope we're in the process of learning that same lesson, because I know my tongue is when James points out what the tongue is like, it really makes you realize that he hit on the right point there. It's an evil, uncontrollable evil.
Yeah.
To say we should be dumb, it kind of makes me wonder, then what are we going to do? Because we're encouraged to speak. But I think if we just speak the things of the Word of God, and we would restrict ourselves to those kind of things, we would save ourselves a lot of rebellion, a lot of outward activities that would cause a lot of trouble. But to say, just be dumb, silent, this is true, just like Brother Lee pointed it out. But this really calls for our realization and our enlightenment that within us is a certain kind of evil automatic reaction, that when our tongue voices it, it comes out as a rebellious thing, as sinful, and even an expression of Satan. So it's better to be quiet than to let the rebellion come out. But that's one of the reasons we have to keep confessing and repenting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if we couple this section and the truth here with the one we got in that first portion about learning to say sorry, 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 that's sometimes the only word that we really should be speaking at that time, isn't it, is sorry because of what has just popped out of our mouth a moment before. This tongue is a tricky thing.
That's right.
It certainly gets us in more trouble than we could ever imagine, even when we have no intention of doing or saying anything that strays from the mark of God's economy. It just is so spontaneous what pops out because of what is lurking in there all the time, this sinful, rebellious leprosy that we saw a moment ago.
That's right. That's what's in us, and that's what will come out if we're not careful. Well, even you try to be careful.
Yeah.
This is something kind of spontaneously comes out. And therefore, it is necessary we repent and we confess and we learn to say sorry because these things will come out. We just like to wash away all that kind of activity and all that kind of speaking.
Mm. Francis, you and I were talking before we began recording today how vital or how crucial these printed messages in Leviticus are, and so many of our listeners would benefit greatly from having these to be able to study and follow along with each day and really to dive into these matters for themselves. I think you'd join me in recommending once again that anyone who is able contact us about receiving these printed messages.
I think without getting these printed messages, particularly on this line that we're in now in Leviticus, it'd be hard for people to relate to some of the things we're saying. Because sometimes it sounds like we mean for you to use more self-effort to try to improve yourself. But when you get into these written messages, you really find out how all these things fit together to cause us to really trust the Lord,
right,
to love the Lord, to enjoy the Lord, but at the same time to deal with this kind of thing that we've been on today.
Well, Francis, tomorrow we're going to have a marvelous message. I hope all of our listeners can stay with us for this one. Seeing how this leprous condition that affects all of us is followed by a way to be cleansed, the cleansing of the leper tomorrow. And this is one that, as you said, will not only give us light about what we really are like, but it's going to give us great hope as well, because the Lord has provided a way for all of us who are lepers to receive this cleansing and be fully restored. So I hope all of our listeners will stay with us for that.
Very good.
Thank you for your help today.
Thank you for allowing me to be in on this kind of fellowship.
We'd love to have you back as soon as you're able. Within a few days, I'm sure we'll be sharing some time together again.
Very good. I look forward to that.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.